This is episode 70 of Social Entrepreneur with Maria Rodriguez of BioEarth.
But now, 10 years after, you want to run a social venture and scale, and people are still like, oh, Maria, the one with the worms, you know? So I would like to move out of that, but that's been a challenge.
Welcome to the Social Entrepreneur Podcast. My name is Tony Lloyd. I'm a former business executive with Fortune 500 companies. Today, I spend my time with changemakers who are making an impact in the world. Each week, we bring you exciting stories from the world of social entrepreneurs, benefit corporations, and impact investing. Thanks for being with me today. Let's get started. Hi, and welcome to episode 70 of Social Entrepreneur with Maria Rodriguez of BioEarth. Now, quick reminder, at the end of today's episode, we're going to announce the next two winners of the mentoring session for social entrepreneurs. Now, if you haven't entered that contest yet, it's not too late. You can enter at tonylloyd.com/mentoring, and you could read all the details there. We're going to come back and talk about that at the end of today's episode. But I want to get to Maria Rodriguez, and here's the interesting thing I really loved about Maria. Now, first of all, she definitely has an inspiring story, and you know that I love a good, inspiring story. How she overcame adversity, how she was a woman working in agriculture in Guatemala, and she was working with worms, and she was so passionate about it. But what was interesting to me was to hear Maria sort of processing this idea of that story can only take her so far. To scale her impact, she's going to need a new story. So I love her current story. It's a great story. And I hear her thinking about where is she taking BioEarth. So here she is, Maria Rodriguez of BioEarth.
My name is Maria Rodriguez. I'm the founder of BioEarth, and I manage the organization since 2007.
Yeah, and what exactly is BioEarth?
Yes, so BioEarth is a social venture. We're based in Guatemala, and we transform waste into wealth using worms. So over more than 10 years, I've been working very hard to introduce vermicomposting in Guatemala and to include different groups of women around the country in productive processes using vermicomposting.
So waste into wealth using worms and women.
Yes. You added
wow.
All up.
We'll add another W to that to say wow.
Yeah.
So Maria, what does BioEarth produce and how does it make money?
Yes. So BioEarth produces organic fertilizer that's also known as vermicompost, which is the transformation of waste through the worms through a digestive process. Their excrement is organic fertilizer. So we sell organic fertilizer, we sell the worms, we train communities and people, and we are beginning to produce our own organic vegetables.
Mm. All right, we are going to dig into that here in just a little bit, but let's go back. So you've been at this for quite a while. You mentioned that you've been running the organization since 2007. How did this start? What was your path that led you there?
Yes, so I was born and raised in Guatemala. Many of the people listening might know that Guatemala is a very tropical, beautiful country, but our main thing is agriculture. And so my family, since two generations, has been running a coffee plantation. So I grew up between a coffee plantation that's in the rural areas and this Guatemala City. And so I was always very conscious about, the different dynamics between the rural areas and the urban areas of Guatemala. And so I was always very inspiring and finding creative ways to be nature. You know, I've been like, I love animals, I love nature. And so when I was finishing my university in Guatemala, a Colombian teacher came and he taught us about waste. And I was a bit of a rebel, and I was, like, sitting at the end of the class. I wasn't paying a lot of attention. But then he said, like, oh, and the worms will eat the waste and transform it into a highly nutritious organic matter. So that caught my attention immediately, and I'm like, whoa, this is something that's happening 24 hours a day and that we're not really paying attention to. And as a business, I thought that would be great because rural communities have waste. My family's coffee plantation has a lot of waste that they don't transform, and people need jobs because coffee is seasonal. You know, so in coffee plantations, there's a lot of jobs during the coffee harvesting, but then the number of jobs decreases because there's less work to do in plantations. So I thought, well, if I add this and I bring it to this rural community in the farm, I might be starting to create new jobs and to produce something out of waste.
And so your family had a coffee plantation, so you were familiar with the agricultural waste that they were producing already.
Yeah, I was familiar with the waste and the whole dynamic with people, you know, how families depend on the jobs that are around the coffee plantations.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you started with turning that coffee waste into organic fertilizer, but if you would not have taken that coffee waste and turned it into organic fertilizer, what would have happened to it?
So waste would just compost naturally, and then eventually the farm would use it to reintegrate it into its soils or, you know, their plant nursery.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so by adding the earthworms, it sped up the process.
It sped up the process, and it's given the farm like a highly nutritious soil amendment.
And is soil depletion a particular problem in Guatemala?
Yes, in Guatemala and around the world. Like the United Nations says that 40% of our soils are being highly degraded. And that's like not a new statistic. And in Guatemala, farming is very intense. There's a lot of use of agrochemicals to speed up processes, to do more productivity. You know, the companies are everywhere, distributing everywhere. The government gives a lot of free fertilizer, chemical. And so, you know, we're not getting any closer to nurturing our soils and really making sure that the next generation will have a fertile soil to eat from.
Right, and the chemicals that are put on the ground, what happens to those then?
Yeah, so chemical fertilizers, first of all, the production process of them is very harmful for the environment because, you know, they're shipped around the world, etc. And when they're used in soil, the soil itself gets stressed and it gets like very, very tired. So a plant will use all of it and then it won't add or fix any other nutrients back into the soil because it's a very stressful process for plants. And that's why when people use chemical fertilizers, they see, oh, but look, it grows so fast and look at the fruit. It's amazing. So it doesn't contribute to building more soil.
Right. And I don't know about in Guatemala, but here where I'm at, we have big concerns about runoff of chemical fertilizers into our water system then.
Definitely. In Guatemala, we have this beautiful lake called Lake Atitlan. And we had this big cyanobacteria. And it was like all over the lake. And one of the reasons was that a lot of farmers were using a lot of chemical fertilizers that had a lot of phosphorus. And that, when it rains and everything, it comes to the lake and it started bringing these bacteria up.
Right. And so you first started by composting on your family farm. Is that how you started?
Yes. I literally started with a box of worms. A year later, I found out they weren't even the specific kind of worms that I needed and that now I use. Mm. Because,
go ahead.
Yeah, in vermicomposting, there's very specific types of commercial use of worms and there's a very, like, there's a whole market inside.
And so you started on your family farm, and you were creating this this organic compost. And so how did that turn into a business?
Yes. So I think it was I don't remember how much, maybe a week or 2 weeks later, after I was so inspired by this idea of the worms, I come to my dad, I make all this research, I print out facts, etc. And I'm like, Dad, I want to start this business, and look, it makes perfect sense, it's cost effective. And he's like, I don't think you're ready, you are 17 years old, or maybe, no, sorry, I was like 20. You won't be in the farm working alone, like, please just think about something else. So I was completely shut down, you know, but it's natural to have a protective father. For us. So I went into a business plan competition that TechnoServe, a nonprofit that works all around the world, launched in Guatemala. And this was actually one of the only business plan competitions that I've seen in 10 years that awarded seed capital for entrepreneurs. So it was a very competitive process because, first of all, I wasn't like a biologist or an agronomer, or, you know, I was studying business with hotel management. And I was like a very young female, you know, person in Guatemala who's zero experience with this. So there wasn't a lot in my favor. But I went through the process. It was 300 people. Then it was, I think, about 120, and then 60, and then 20, and then 10. You know, so I got through the process, like, literally like a little worm, just going through learning, digesting, you know, everything that was going on. And it really helped that I was a woman trying to do something different in the agriculture section of Guatemala. So I won, and I got my first seed capital to start the business. And so I bought 500,000 worms, which is like a lot of worms. And I built a production plant in my father's coffee plantation. And after that is when I learned that how it worked. You know, the first 2 or 3 years I worked from there, and I really got to learn and understand the process very well, which is something that a lot of entrepreneurs sometimes skip, you know, when they just go into the numbers and all the other aspects. But I got to learn, like, the relationship with the community and how, like, more the social aspect and the environmental aspect, plus all the technical details of doing an activity inspired by nature.
Right. And how did you find your first 100 customers?
It was very interesting, but I did my website, and a lot of people started just calling me. And it's a small market in Guatemala, but there is people who are actively looking for organic fertilizer or worms. And I would be invited to a lot of places to speak about it, because there you have like a 20-year-old with worms and so passionate about it and talking about how you can change the world with them. So that helped a lot, like the mouth-to-mouth communication that that this was going on in Guatemala.
Right. So there was a little bit of sort of a PR effect from the fact that you are a public relations, sorry, I shouldn't use acronyms, a public relations effect of the fact that, you know, you're smart, you're bright, you're a woman, you're working in this space, and you're making a difference with worms.
Yep.
So that's interesting that your story sort of carried your brand and carried your product forward.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's great, but now, 10 years after, you want to run a social venture and scale, and people are still like, oh, Maria, the one with the worms, you know? So I would like to move out of that, but that's been a challenge.
Right. I understand that. So how do you think about scaling your business?
Yeah, well, that has been one of the biggest challenges. Partly because of that story, but also because, in general, to scale something with agriculture in Guatemala is challenging. There's a lot of geographical distances, and different situations that sometimes are hard to overcome, and politically, or, you know, just the safety of it all. But, we are right now trying to use the fertilizer itself directly with farmers to produce organic vegetables and goods. And because I realized that what I really want to do is upgrade the living conditions of women and farmers in Guatemala. So I could keep selling fertilizer, you know, but then other people are adding the value with this fertilizer because they're using it for their own plantations, which is great because we're still doing a big environmental impact. But I also wanted to do a lot more, like growing ourselves, like completing that cycle. We produce the fertilizer, we work with the farmers, and then we harvest together and we sell, you know, like closing a cycle.
Yes.
Because the fertilizer itself, you need a lot of volume to sell at a low price.
Did I also hear you say that you're selling worms? Not only are you selling the fertilizer, and now you're starting to produce organic food and sell the organic food, but there's another path that I heard here, and maybe I misheard you, that you're training other people how to do this, and you're selling worms as well.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yes. So technical assistance is a very big part of our business because we work with a lot of clients that are in the majority nonprofits that want to train the communities they're serving with vermicomposting and just the use of organic fertilizers. So we've really reached a level where even if I sell half of the millions of farms that we own, it's not going to be competition for us because we're very specific in what we're doing. We're not running just a worm business. It's a social venture where we're aiming for development. So any other company that sells organic fertilizer, it's purely doing that. They're not taking into consideration how this is really a tool for development.
Right, and you've mentioned women a couple of times in here, so let's talk about that role. How do you engage women, and what's the problem that you're trying to overcome, and what impact are you having? That was too many questions, wasn't it?
Yes.
So let's just start with how are women involved, and then what are you trying to do with these women?
Yeah. So since the beginning, I learned that vermicomposting and women were a very good thing to work together. First, because women are the majority in Guatemala, but also because women have a special sensibility to take care of the worms, to understand the process. They're very patient and they know how to take care of another, you know, men can too, but women have this special ability, you know, since they have children, etc. And the worms really need to be taken care of in order for you to have a successful process. So we work with groups of women that own their own production facilities of vermicompost, and they produce also organic herbs and other organic products that they own. So BioEarth trains and buys from them. But it's a way of growing where communities are building their own assets, and the women feel more empowered to do an activity that's a benefit for their community and to bring some benefit back to their families.
Right. And are these women primarily working in cooperatives then?
Yeah. The main idea was for them to work in co-ops. Recently, we found that there's leadership problems and there's a lot of things that the co-op model is not working right now at its perfection. But yeah, that's the idea.
Yeah. And are you thinking that you might intervene somewhere in that cooperative system to help them to work through those problems? Or is that just sort of outside the scope of your work?
No, we work every week together, and we definitely are involved in just seeing what's the best and the most productive thing for them to do. And sometimes the co-op model doesn't empower women to become like entrepreneurs, you know, because they're like, yeah, we're this group. If we all work, we can sell or not, you know. Specifically with the groups I've worked with. So we are right now encouraging them to become just a private company, you know?
Right. And where are you going then with BioEarth? What's your plan? What's your goal?
Yeah, well, my goal is to reach more people in Guatemala via organic agriculture. This might be reaching them with just a fertilizer, you know, going to other places in Guatemala and just keep selling fertilizer, increase our volumes of selling, but also go more deeper into that and really work with farmers providing technical assistance and how to upgrade their harvest and their agriculture methods that they already know. But with organic fertilizer, they're taking care of their soil, so they're like thinking more long-term.
Now, I understand you have another initiative that you've launched, which is a co-working space. Is that right?
Yes. So, you know, since I've been an entrepreneur for 10 years, I've been involved in different entrepreneurial things in Guatemala because for me, Guatemala is just a country of opportunity. You know, there's so many challenges, but there's such an amazing population that's just ready to work and very eager to work. And so I started this co-working space. It's called Chamba, which in Spanish means work. It's a very just like casual word that means work. And so it's located in an area in the city that's called Zone 4, but that's really aimed to be a place where you can live and work. So it could be like a mini Soho in Guatemala City. It's becoming more safer, and a lot of entrepreneurs and innovators are living there, and they're just making a little ecosystem for innovation in the city.
Right. And this co-working space, is it geared towards all entrepreneurs? Is it geared towards women entrepreneurs, social entrepreneurs, or just how does that work?
Yeah. So initially, I wanted it to be just for social entrepreneurs, but the reality is that social entrepreneurs in Guatemala are just starting. Like, there are not a ton of them. So we really needed to open the opportunity to work with just mainstream entrepreneurs. And there's a lot of things that are focused on women specifically. We do a lot of focus on the environment. So we do a lot of, you know, workshops and activities with specific topics.
Right. And I recently was in a meeting, and there was someone there who was running a co-working space out of Chicago, a well-known co-working space. And he talked about the importance of, first of all, of the ecosystem that he's creating there, where, you know, he's not only having these entrepreneurs, but he also has venture capitalists and lawyers and all kinds of other people who come in and have co-working space in the same thing, in the same building. Mm. So are you trying to do some of that?
Yes. That part of having a co-working space is creating that community around it. That's what really makes it the co-working space become alive, you know. So we are definitely trying to integrate more of different disciplines and diversity into the co-working space. But it's something that has to be done naturally and that we're like starting to. But there's a very interesting mixture of entrepreneurs and just people that are working around there.
Right. And as you think about things that you are able to teach other social entrepreneurs who are maybe not as far down the path as you are, what's one or two lessons that you've learned that you would like to pass on?
Yes. Well, one of the lessons is really to be true to yourself and to your mission. Like, that seed that was planted in your heart the minute you did your first business plan, or the minute you said, wow, this is what I want to do and this is how I want to do it. Stay true to that, because life becomes harder every day. There's a lot of challenges, and there's also a lot of people that want to tell the story for you. With good intentions, of course, but stay true to that. Remember that if you want to write it down, because there's also some other ideas that can like come and like make you shift. But then over the years, you're gonna regret that it wasn't what you truly wanted to do. Like, what's like really that passionate idea that brought you to life, that brought to life this new you know, business or project. So I think that's very, very important. Yeah. And it gives meaning in the hard times too.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll get you through on it.
Yeah.
So, Maria, if people were looking for you or BioEarth or Chamba on the web or on social media, where would they look?
Yeah, so on Facebook, we are facebook.com/BioEarth, BYO Earth. And on LinkedIn, there's also my profile with my other projects. I've started another project with women and bottle caps, bags. We're sewing bottle caps as part of our recycling program too. And you can find me on Twitter as @BioEarth, BYO Earth. And just in general, I'm very available and very accessible on social media.
Right. And Maria, in a second, we're going to go to a call to action from you to the listeners of Social Entrepreneur. But before we do, I just want to take a second and acknowledge you. And what I really like about this story is, first of all, you have a compelling story, and everyone wants to hear this story. It's a fantastic story. But what you recognized is the story can help you to launch and to begin to gain traction, but you really have to dig in and do the hard work in order to grow and scale the business beyond the initial story.
Yeah.
So I just love that part of what I'm hearing from you, and that you're doing so many things to get beyond your initial story and to prove that you're more than just a simple story. It's a greater story of a social entrepreneur. And so congratulations to you on all your great work. And I just wanted to acknowledge
you. Oh, thank you, Tony. And this is something that I love right now, because it came out of your podcast. Like, this is not a conversation that I have. You know, I tell my story, but it's my story. I'm not like reflecting about it. So thank you.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So, Maria, what's one call to action you would have for listeners of Social Entrepreneur?
Yes. So a call to action that I would have, Tony, would be first to think of all the impact that your personal activities are having on the earth and on society. And I say it because I work with worms and waste, and I've seen how much waste we produce as humans, especially degradable waste, which gives a huge opportunity to start new businesses, like in my case. But also, it's one of the parts of waste that really complements the soil when it's put back, you know, so it repairs the soil. So yes, we produce waste, and we shouldn't feel bad about it, but we should pay attention towards where it goes. So in America, it's easier because there's a lot of composting programs, etc. But in other countries, we could really make a difference if we just separate our degradable waste and make sure it goes back into the earth instead of, you know, creating atmospheric gases in a landfill.
Right. You know, I will say that, you know, speaking as an American, too many Americans take all that waste and they throw it in the garbage disposal and they send it off to the waste processing plant, right, where they actually they destroy that nutrients.
Yeah.
And so it's a great call to action for us to be more aware of where the waste stream is going and how we could reuse that. So thanks for reminding us of that. And so, Maria, thank you so much for being with us on Social Entrepreneur.
Thank you, Tony. It's been great, a great conversation. And I love how there's always things that we can keep learning and just, you know, sharing with the world.
And thanks to you, the listener, for joining us today. You are the reason that we produce Social Entrepreneur every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. If you'd like the show notes for today, you can simply head over to tonyloyd.com/070. That's TonyLoyd with one L, tonyloyd.com/070. Now, while you're there, you'll be able to register for our ongoing mentoring giveaway. So we're giving away 10 slots this month, and the first two slots were given away last week. Today, I have an announcement. I am announcing, and if I don't say your name right, please forgive me. There are two more people who are getting their mentoring sessions. They are Juan Carlos Otero and Jesus Salas. Those are the two people, Juan Carlos Otero and Jesus Salas. And I'll be emailing you, so look for that in your inbox. Listen, thanks so much for joining us again today. And until next time, please remember to use this one short, amazing life and go make an impact. Thanks. We'll talk to you next time on Social Entrepreneur.